So 2026.
Huh? Come on, 2026. I don't know all the number stuff. There's people that are good with numbers. I don't know what 26 represents, but I hope it represents good stuff. But you know, at the beginning of every year, there's two sets of people that you find. There's the new year, new me people. Who's that? Where's my new year, new me people? Yes, I love you guys. I'm with you this year, right? It's awesome. But I'm not new year, new me. Completely. And then there's the, I never stick to any of my resolutions anyway. I don't really know what this year holds. So I'm just kind of holding tight and hoping for the best. How many is, who's there? Okay, and then the rest of you guys need to listen because you have no idea what's happening and I'm about to help you. So this preacher's for you. But we're going to help you guys. We're going to help you guys because I do believe that God actually says, in Jeremiah, he says to the people, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. God has things. The other part of the Bible, he says that God has prepared good works for us in advance that we should walk in them, right? So can you and I agree that there is something that God wants and plans and has for you to do this year? Would that be biblically sound? Hallelujah. How are we going to get there? One of the things that happens at the beginning of every year is we start with New Year's resolutions. This year I'm going to get bigger, I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to make more money, I'm going to spend less time doing things that aren't good for me, I'm going to do all these things, right? Has anybody here, please be brave, there's no judgment in the house, has anybody here made any New Year's resolutions? There we go. Well done. You're 30% there. Okay. The statistics on people that actually continue and flourish and achieve their New Year's resolutions is abysmal. It's really, really low. Now, for me, I don't like that. I think we should be able to achieve the goals that we've set for ourselves or the goals that God has set for us. So I asked a very reliable person that will remain unnamed. Many of you would know this person and have used them with increasing intensity to help you with things like, why does this happen? And I asked and I said, why do people's New Year's resolutions fail? And it came back and it said, without any doubt, there are three key reasons why New Year's resolutions fail. Number one is the goal that you set is too vague or it's unrealistic. Okay? If I tell you that my New Year's resolution is to be like Kevin and run the Comrades Marathon in July, that is the very definition of an unrealistic goal. And it might not even have anything to do with my fitness. It might be just simply I don't have the required runs to be actually make it. It might not be my fitness, but I haven't given myself a realistic chance to achieve that goal. That's number one. The second one is that people very nicely and well-meaningly rely on motivation instead of environment and structure. So I have a goal, and I'm just kind of going to get there. I don't really have anything in place, but I'll just get there. So my goal this year is I want to lose, maybe you have actually defined it and you say, I want to lose 10 kgs. Fantastic. But you're still buying the same things you bought the last 20 years when you've been 50 kgs overweight. You haven't created the environment or structure to be able to achieve that goal. And then finally, we live, and this is one where I really felt the Lord has challenged me. And I hope that it will challenge you as well. That we have an all or nothing thinking or an all or nothing approach to this, which means that if I've set out to achieve this goal, the first time I fail, I give up because I just didn't do it. So I have my goal of not eating anything and I'm going to do this and I have a setback and I go, okay, well, now I've had a chocolate, so I might as well have chips and a Coke and I'm going to hit smash 35 pizzas and I completely stop all of the momentum because I made one mistake. This is why we fail. This is why many of us will never achieve what we aim to achieve at the end of the year because we just don't put the necessary scaffolding in place. For those of you here for the very first time, I want to say to you, you're probably going, is this a church or a TED Talk? I want to say to you, it's not a TED Talk. Please stick with me. I'm going to show you how the principles that I've just unpacked with you are actually incredibly biblical, and I hope to take us on a journey. So the name of this pre-channelet for you that want to know it, it's my personal motto, you might see it even on my WhatsApp statements, is this, just win today. Just win today. If we could go to Proverbs verse 16 Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says this. It says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Very interesting that the first reason why people don't achieve is because their goals are unrealistic or vague. But this is actually saying to us, what is it doing? It's giving us the remedy. In a sense, we're sick and this is the cure. It says that we commit our work, the things that we want to do, the plans that we have, we commit it to the Lord, and then it says that He's through Him, the plans will be established. Now, what often happens is, I have very well-meaning, incredibly selfish goals. And they're not actually the plan of God for my life. You see, I might want to be a multimillionaire. That might be my goal. And I'm going, this year I'm going to make a bucket load of money so that I can be a huge blessing to the church and I can be a huge blessing to everybody else. But the problem is you're not even faithful with the little you have now. So if I'm not faithful now, how will I be faithful there? And actually God knows what's in your heart. So my plan might be to make a bucket load of money. And He actually knows I don't have the character to steward that money and that money will actually corrupt me. Is He a good God if He doesn't let us? I would argue that He is. I'm not saying money is there, that's just an example. If you want to make a lot of money, great. Go for it. Bless you. Be faithful, be generous, go for it. But the fact is, we need to submit our ways to Him and we need to say, Lord, what is your input? What's your goal for me? What do you want from me this year, Lord? So I want to help us with a couple of things. You see, we're not the world that are aiming for the world's goals, for the world's reasons. I'm not trying to build a bigger house. I'm not trying to have higher walls, more food in my cupboard, a smarter car. Those are not the things that move me anymore. What moves me is moving the heart of God, using my hands to move His heart. So here's a couple of takeaways for those of you that are taking notes. This would be a really good way to go and set your goals with the Lord this year. Just to start. They're not definitive, but it's a couple. Lord, what is your desire for me this year? How many of you have asked that question? Fantastic. You are on your way. What has He said? Huh? Has He told you? Because He actually says that I have good works for you that are prepared in advance. So if you've asked God and He hasn't told you yet, I think you need to carry on asking. And if you haven't asked Him, it's time to start. Because He has good works planned for you in advance that you should walk in them. Amen? This is not the thoughts of Sean. This is the Word of God. The second thing I want to ask, God, how can I live for Your glory this year, not mine? How can I live for Your glory and not mine? Now what I'm doing is I'm aligning my goals with His. I'm putting His glory above my own. And I've got a much better chance. I'm just thinking mathematically, legally, and statistically. I've got a much better chance of the goals that I want to be achieved if they're aligned with God than if I'm trying to do it myself. Here's a question for us as a community, for you as an individual. God, where do you want me to serve this year? I think of Jesus standing and He says to the guys, He says, which of you would be great? Which of you would be the greatest of all? And you would think it would be the biggest, the strongest. It would be like the Israelites picked Saul because he was good looking and tall and strong. And God says, if you want to be the greatest, become the? No. Become the servant of all. Because it is better to serve. We need to be serving. It's an outworking of Christ in me. When I have Christ in me and He's moving me, He moves me to serve you. I don't do it because I get paid to do it. Well, I do. Because I'm a faithful man and I get paid by the church to do this. So I do it. But it's His heart that moves me. And it's incredibly hard to do this without His heart. But when His heart is in me, it's easy to serve you. It's easy to love you. It's easy to be there for you. So where does God want you to serve this year? We have a need in Kids Church. Parents, hello? We have a need in Kids Church. We have a need in sound and AV. We have a need on the worship team. There are opportunities for you to serve. And I want to say to you that it's for you. Because I don't get your rewards. You do. Ask yourself this year as one of your questions. Lord, where do you want me to serve? Where and who do you want me to invest in this year? With my time, my treasure, my talents. In your community. Just because you're not a community leader doesn't mean you can't disciple somebody. Just because you're not an elder doesn't mean you can't teach somebody. It doesn't mean you can't sit with people. In your communities, in this church, Lord, who do you want me to invest in this year? Who am I putting my time, my treasure, my talents into this year? And then the final question, which I think is a great one, as you're setting your goals and trying to make them faster, is, Lord, how can I learn to know you better this year? How do I get to know you better? What are the things that I can put in place to be able to grow in my knowledge and my understanding and my revelation of you? Amen? Is this good? Are you guys with me? The second part is why our plans fail and why we need to just win today is that we don't have structure or environment to support the goals. So I want to say to you, if we go and look at Genesis 1, you can go and read it in your own time. We won't read it now. If you have a look at it, God works according to an incredibly structured plan in how he creates the earth. Day 1 separates darkness from light. Day 2, sky and the sea is created. Day 3, dry land and vegetation. Day 4, sun, moon, stars. Day 5, sea creatures and birds. Day 6, land, animals and humans. Day 7, he rested. There's a plan and a structure and an environment to support even what God did. He didn't just go, okay, well, okay, maybe I'll do that. And he knew exactly the right way. And I think if we had to unpack this, we'd actually probably see some pretty fascinating factors about why he did it in the days that he did it. But for us, we kind of just live our lives and we just go day to day and I kind of hope that things will work out and then it doesn't work out and then we get frustrated and we get flustered because the plan that I didn't have for today hasn't been followed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does anybody witness with this or is it just me? You're in cricket, see? It was literally a cricket. We've got to put some thought into this stuff, man. If we want to get through this year, achieving our goals with God, we need to have an opportunity to bring some structure and environment around us. How can I help you with that quickly? When is the best time for you to spend time with God? You. You see, we can read the scriptures about Jesus rose early in the morning and we can go, okay, that's the model. I have to get up early in the morning and I need to go and spend time with God. And if that's the right fit for you, that's great. But if you work evenings and you're getting to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock your shift, to get up now at 5 o'clock dogmatically out of routine to have time with the Lord, can I just say to you, it's not going to work. You still have a physical body with physical attributes that need sleep. In fact, you're stewarding yourself badly if you're not sleeping. But I'm not saying then don't spend time with the Lord, but think about when can I? When do I want to do it? And bring it into a plan. Can I tell you where I am every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 8 and 9 o'clock? I'm in a CrossFit box. Every single week. That's where I am. I could tell you where I am, and if you phone me to come and see you, I won't. Why? Because there's 3 hours a week I get to spend with me. I get to throw some weights around. I get to get the testosterone going and be with my bros, and we throw weights around, and we run it on the floor. It's my time, but it's planned. My exercise is planned. I know when I'm investing in my body, investing in me. But then there's other times where I can tell you where you'll find me. At about 9:30 every single Tuesday morning, you'll find me in that office right there. Because there's a lady that comes to clean and make this place beautiful for us, and I come, and that Tuesday morning is my day for prayer, my day for coming in here. Usually Mona is here, or Rian will come sometimes, and we'll pray together as elders, and we'll talk about stuff, and we'll be accountable. There's a certain structure that I've brought into my life that actually brings incredible freedom, but also make sure that the things that I'm wanting to get done, get done. If you haven't thought about it, you're not going to do it. I'm willing to argue with anybody. If you haven't thought about it, you're not going to do it. Let's bring a bit of structure and think about your days. Moms, I know your days are hectic. Sandwiches and school runs and this and that and shopping and all the rest of that sort of stuff. But don't neglect your time with the Lord. In fact, it's like trying to run a car with no petrol. So maybe you find him on the way back from the school drop-off in a worship song or a quick prayer or a message or a listen to the Bible. Do something, but make a plan. Don't just leave it and hope it'll happen. It won't. I can guarantee you. Have a weekly plan. What happens on a Wednesday night at around about 7 o'clock every single week except for a couple of weeks a year? There's community. It's in my diary. It's locked down. There it is. Only in very, very special occasions will something be able to take priority over that. Why? Because I understand the value of meeting with God's people. I understand the biblical principle that says I should not forsake the gathering of the saints. I understand that in Acts 2:42 it said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are things that I understand are God's ways, not mine. So I bring them in, and they don't move. If there's a parents' evening, well, you know, then I'll see what I can do. If there's something else, I'll move around those things. Sunday's church. I'm here. I know that I need to be here to be encouraged, to be an encouragement, to serve and to be served. It's a non-negotiable. And every now and again, we take off every 6 weeks to stay fresh. It doesn't always happen. We normally take off one every 8 to 9 weeks. But even the rest is intentional. We've got to get these things right. If we get them right, we can be super, super productive for the Lord this year. On a Sunday morning, Monet stands up and he goes, "Hey guys, we've got a couple of announcements for you. There's divorce recovery, there's marriage, and there's a gathering coming up. These are opportunities for who? Wena. It's opportunities for you, not for us. I'm not getting married, but maybe you are. Take out your phone, make a note of it. Put it in the diary in advance, and you know that when someone goes, "Hey, cool, can we go watch rugby in that day?" You go, "Sorry, bro, I can't. Actually, I've got something going on." This is not rocket science. I'm not teaching you guys to, you know, this is just normal things that if we bring them into our lives can add incredible, incredible fruitfulness to us. Have you this? I want to stop with this one under the structure. Have you thought about what night of the week works for you to have people in your home? For us, it's a Thursday. Tuesdays is often we'll have an elders meeting once every second week. We've got an elders meeting on a Tuesday. Wednesday's community. So the best night relatively to have people in our house is a Thursday. It's not confirmed. It's in pencil. But it's in the diary. It's there. It's like, hey, we understand the value that I can only build relationship with you around a table. And who we're going to have is intentional. We think about it and we pray about it and we get those people and we invest in them and they invest in us. Does this make sense, guys? It's not like I'm not having a crack. I'm just saying if we start doing these things, actually things can start to work. Finally, and I know some of you are going, "Sheepish, Sean, it's the beginning of the year. I feel like you're putting everything on me. There's all the stuff you're asking me to do and commit to. And you just like the school now." You know what I mean? That's given me my school planner for the next quarter. And I'm going kind of like, "Sheepish, how do I split myself into three pieces so I can get that kid to that sporting event? That one." It's okay. Stay calm. I'm not trying to put anything on you. I'm not trying to set you up for failure. In fact, my very next scripture is going in exactly the opposite spirit. You know, in the ethos of just win today, we need to think long term. One failure does not equal failure. If I've got it wrong today, what does the Bible say is waiting for me tomorrow morning? Hallelujah. Very well done, Sinette. Can you put that scripture up for us, please, Annalette? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, we've got to have a long-term thinking. We've got to be looking at the big, long game. If I fail today, if my target is, hey, I want to spend 20 minutes with the Lord this morning, I just want to pray about my day, I've got some stuff that's troubling me, and things happen and you don't get there, don't quit trying. Start again tomorrow. His mercies is new for you. When you go to him and you say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I missed that appointment with you, God. I'm sorry about that. He goes, that's cool. Let's start again. Can I be honest with you? I didn't, in the first little bit of my holiday, I actually didn't have great quiet times. I was actually just bush day. I was much. And then we started getting towards coming back to church. I'm sorry. Is it okay that I be vulnerable and real with you guys? I'm taking some of the shine off of. And I start getting back towards, now my mind's starting to go back towards coming to see all of you guys and leading you guys and doing it faithfully. And you know what happened? I kind of creeped into the Lord's presence. I was a little bit nervous. And I was like, yes, Lord, I know I haven't really spent huge amounts of time with you this holiday. I'm so sorry, but please would you speak to me for your people? And you know what he did? He spoke. And I just told you guys earlier on what he spoke. There was no naughty corner. There's no, well, actually, you know what? You haven't really spoken to me, so I don't know if I want to speak to you right now, Sean. This is not the God we serve. His mercies were new for me, and he said, I repented, and I meant it. But then he spoke, and he came, and he gave me this view for this year, and he said, I want to do incredible things through these people. I want to do incredible things through the men. I want to do incredible things through the marriages here. I want you to go slow. I want you to build deep. I want you to build with deliberateness. If I had gone on the mess up, I would never have seen him. And we would start this year like a ship that has no course. And next weekend, we'll be away as elders. So you won't see us here. We're not absconding. Once a year, at the beginning of the year, we get together as elders in the Sunningdale venue. And we hear what the apostolic is feeling for us. So I might come back and go, hey guys, listen, God felt in the saying to me in the macro, this is what we need to do. But also there's a macro vision. There's a global vision of what God wants to do in Josh Jen, and these are how the two align. Because I'm a man under submission as well. I don't have the final say. But there's going to be vision. There's going to be an opportunity for us. So I want to say to you, I understand and God understands you're not a machine. We don't get these things right just because we get them right. We can't through the force of our will just continue to just do things bang, 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 bang. And there are. Am I saying that you can't build an empire without Jesus? No, I'm not saying that. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous equally. If there are people that have no understanding of God, but they understand sow and reap. They understand godly principles. They understand be kind and kindness will come back to you. So they do godly principles and they actually flourish. And but God's nowhere in the plan. For us, we have God. A God who understands our frailties and our insecurities and our brokenness. And for us men this year, as we journey together, we're going to get into some haha stuff. We're going to get in, just ankle deep. We're going to get into stuff this year. And we're going to deal with that stuff. Why? Because it's dross. And God loves us. And he's going, I don't want you to carry that anymore. I want to bring you into the more so that we can come into purity as a family. So I want to say to you, please, 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 just win the battle in front of you today. If that battle is to forgive somebody, win that battle. If that battle is to go and humble yourself to your wife and apologize for your stinking attitude over the last 25 years, why not today? Wives, if it's to go to your husband and actually repent for being rebellious and disrespectful and speaking badly about him behind his back to your friends, why not win today? Just because you failed the last 20 years means nothing today. We can change our lives, man. In an instant, if we just win the battle in front of us. If for me right now and for this group of elders, we all started roughly the same day without speaking to each other. And there's a couple of others here that are on a health journey at the moment. Hopefully you can see something. In 90 days, if I've stuck to my plan, you're going to definitely see something. But the fact is this, there was something in us that was going, hey, actually, I want to do a physical cleanup, because I believe that God is actually coming and doing a spiritual cleanup in us. And he started with the elders without you guys knowing and without us speaking to each other. So all of us are on day 4 or 5 of some form of eating plan. But as we spoke about it on Thursday at the elders meeting, it's like, hey guys, we understand life happens and I'm going to drop the ball. And we're going to have a combined community. And you know what's going to happen? Jenny's going to come with her scones. And when she arrives with those scones, maybe one of them slips into my mouth. And maybe that's on day 33. Have I sacrificed all the other 33 days of doing it well because I got it wrong once? Would you tell me to quit? That doesn't make sense, does it? But we do this with ourselves. Because we don't show ourselves the same grace, the same mercy. Every morning when you have your cup of tea or coffee in the morning or whatever your beverage of choice is, as you're taking that sip, that first sip, you know the one that hits your soul? Huh? God created coffee, guys, just say, yeah. It hits your soul. As you take that sip, remind yourself, you know what? I have new mercy this morning. I have new mercy. It doesn't matter that I went to bed and my wife and I weren't talking to each other. Don't do that. It's not biblical. Sort it out. Or else take an intended break. Don't just leave it. But you've got new mercy. How many of you have actually slept on a problem and the next morning suddenly you see the light? And it's like, hallelujah, I just need to do that. His mercy comes. His grace comes to us. But I can't fight tomorrow's fights today. You see, his mercy hasn't been given to me for tomorrow yet. I know you're facing troubles. I know you've got things that need to happen. I know that there's fears of what next week, Tuesday, looks like when you have to present your quarterly business review to your boss who's wanting 30 million rand more out of your budget this year. I know what that feels like because I did it for 22 years. But I can't win that battle today. I can be faithful today and trust God for the future. Amen. I want to finish with this. Are you guys with me? Has this been okay? In Exodus 23, verse 30, this for me is the perfect, perfect little illustration of what it means to just win today. The people of Israel have come out of the desert. They've come out of their time. They're about to enter into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, all of the good things that they have toiled for years and years and years. It's a glorious day. It's a day of celebration. And then God says to them this, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. What does that mean? That means that God, in all of his infinite power, one angel can put 100,000 to flight, could have driven out every single enemy in every single city, town, dorpi, and village like that. And what would have happened to the land? The crops would have died. The infrastructure would have eroded. Wild animals would no longer have been hunted and killed. And it would have become a wild and desolate land if everything had been given at once. So God says, little by little, day by day, step by step, decision by decision, inherit and go. I'll drive them. I'll move them so that you can increase and you can possess the land. That is it, guys. Just winning the decision that's in front of you. And if you've blown the last 20, take it to him. Lord, I'm sorry. What do I do? How do you want me? Because sometimes there is actually retribution, or there's a sense of, hey, I need to go and fix what's broken. If I come out of Spa, you know, how many people were at Spa over December? How redonkulously busy was it? It was incredible. Like this parking next to the cricket pitch, it was like you couldn't find, and people were so rude. It was horrible. So imagine I come out and I decide, well, that's it. I've just had enough. I go and grab a crowbar out of my car and I'll bash somebody's car to smithereens. And I realize, oof, you know what, actually that probably is not very godly behavior. And I go and apologize to Rian for smashing up his Raptor. He might forgive me. You have to forgive me. But the problem is, his forgiveness doesn't fix the car. I still need to go back and say, hey, buddy, I'm going to set some sort of, I could take a second bond on my home or something like that to pay that. But we're going to sort this thing out. So the mercy comes and the mercy is new and it's free every single day. But there might be something God says you need to go and do. Go and make right with your brother. Say sorry to your wife. Wives, can I just say, you're also allowed to say sorry. All the husbands are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But my wife says only when she's wrong, and that's never. just kidding. But maybe our mercy in that, as we inherit the land, as we win today, it's the battle for grace and mercy between one another. That's how we're going to win this battle this year, guys. We can't win December's troubles today. Shane, you can't face tomorrow's troubles today. You can win the next decision you get to make. You can choose how you spend your money, how you spend your time, where you spend your time, how you invest in somebody else, how you allow others to invest in you, who you bring into your life, who you shut out of your life. Win those decisions, and little by little, you will inherit the land so that you can increase and possess it all. Amen? Can I pray for us as we go into 2026 as a family? I want you to know, I want to see this be the year that each of us truly, truly, truly grow into all that the Lord has got for us. And I believe it's on his heart as well. So Father, I want to thank you for the incredible opportunity it is to share, just to share the gospel, to share the good news that you are with us. Even as it comes to just planning our years and planning our way forward. You want us to walk in step with you. You want us, in a sense, to go slow and to be deliberate about what it is that we do this year. I pray that we would go from this place and that it wouldn't just be another preach that we heard on a Sunday, but that it would actually be something that would capture our hearts, capture our hands, and that we as husbands would make plans for our families, we as wives would make plans for the areas that God has given us stewardship over. As children, we would think about what our needs, lives going to look like this year to reflect Jesus better to our parents. I pray, God, that as a church, that you would just continue to speak direction and give us the plans that we can help move each person forward into the glory of God, so that when the day comes, we can present you as a pure and a spotless bride to him.